Good morning. Hopefully we're enjoying the weather. It's a lovely day to come and to worship the Lord, gathering from our diverse places in one spot this morning to give God the glory that is due his name. I want to draw around the Lord's table again today, remembering his life, his death, his resurrection, the power that that brings to each of our lives today. Let's pray as we begin. Father, we thank you that you showed your love amongst us by sending your only Son into the world, that he would bring us life and life in all of its fullness, that he would bear our sins in his body on the cross so we might die to those sins and live for your glory. We pray today in all that we do, may we find healing in his wounds, find healing in the power of the resurrection, find comfort in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and find reassurance in the fact that you as Father have called us to be your children. Be present, we pray, and transform us into your likeness, we seek. In Jesus' name, amen. David, it's going to be God's word today.
The reading today is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, starting at the first verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we might also share in his glory.
Thank you, David. So second week in our series about the Holy Spirit. Last week, we thought, who is the Holy Spirit? We heard and considered the fact that the Holy Spirit is the Paracletos, the one who draws alongside us, the one who is there to help us, aid us, assist us, reveal things to us and so forth, all the way through. The one who is sent, the part of the triune God, who is present with us until God calls us home. Before we consider this week's topic of what is the Holy Spirit's purpose, let's pray together. Father God, thank you that your Spirit is indeed with us. as we prayed many times in this place, our invitation for your Spirit to be present is not that we don't believe that he is already here, but it's an attitude of openness, receptiveness to your Holy Spirit, and to what he would do for us, with us, through us, in this place, at this time. In the precious and powerful name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. So what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Well, if the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force, rather a person who draws alongside, then what does he do? What is his purpose? How can we see him at work? Last week, if you remember, I said you can see the wind at work in the trees. It wasn't very windy last week, but today you can actually see the trees fluttering in the wind. We know the wind exists and is present with us. We can see its effect in the trees and in the shrubs around us. And a bit like the Holy Spirit, we can see the effect of the Holy Spirit in and through those of us who are believers. So the Holy Spirit has come to live within us, and so his effect is seen through our lives. What it is that we do, what it is that we say, how it is that we interact, how it is that we react to situations. Yes, the scripture is quite clear. The Holy Spirit has come as a purpose. Part of the purpose is to comfort us, to bring us peace, to bring us security and assurance. But it's also these bigger words like sanctification and justification and repentance. But the Holy Spirit has come to live within us that in one sense, it's that part of us that sometimes we almost dismiss as a conscience moment. It's the Holy Spirit prompting us to say, that's not quite right. Maybe we need to rethink that a little bit. Or maybe it's the Holy Spirit prompting us to say, what about this? What about that person? What about that situation? And all of a sudden, everything around us seems to stop, stall, almost come to a pause, and we pray for an individual, we pray for a situation. Someone comes to our mind as laid heavy, and our hearts would be a phrase that we might use as well. But the Holy Spirit comes to be part of that sanctifying process of God within us, that point where we are made right in and through Jesus Christ, that moment of redemption, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, not the words of the preacher, but the words of the Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit has come to seal us with justification because we are now made right with God because of what Christ has done for us on a cross, which we will remember later in our service today. But the Holy Spirit comes to seal that moment where we give our lives to Jesus and he seals us. He says that no longer are our lives able to be taken away and used for evil and all of that. That the devil now has no control over us except the control that we allow him to have. Rather, we are now sealed by God himself. In other words, he enables us to become more like Jesus every single day. That was one of the most profound yet simple truths of the Holy Spirit. He enables us to become more like Jesus every day. And that's ultimately what the scriptures of throughout the New Testament are teaching us to do, that we are to receive Jesus and we are to become more like him every day, in every way, every day, striving to become more like him. Now, Jesus was perfect. We are strive to be perfect. We're not perfect. None of us are. Even me. Even the preacher is not perfect. We all make mistakes. We all do things that are wrong. That's why we've already come and asked for God's forgiveness today. But we still, that does not mean that we cannot strive to be more like Jesus, that we cannot strive to do things even better, even with even more perfection. Romans chapter 8, which David read to us today, not the whole chapter, but most of it actually that he read to us. The first couple of verses says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Well, there's a huge purpose of the Holy Spirit. And he has come to set you and I free from the sin that can entangle us and hold us back. And there is therefore no condemnation for us. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful truth? That's not to say, you know, there won't be times where we've done something that isn't quite right and we'll probably have to pay the consequences of it. Of course, we will. But what that piece of scripture means is that because of the things that we've done wrong, the condemnation that is meant for us is death, eternal death, separation from God. But now there's no condemnation for that. No one can any longer say, because you've received Jesus and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, no one can now say, you're not a part of God's family. There is now no condemnation for those things because Jesus has paid the price and the Spirit will have sealed you with his promise. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The Spirit gives you life. He has set you free. Just like Jesus said in John chapter 10 and 10, the thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it in all of its fullness. And here we have it again in the book of Romans, that the Spirit has come to give you life. Verse 3 says, for what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of his sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What does that mean? Up until the point of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, God's people had to make themselves right with him. They had to come to the temple and give a sacrifice that their sins might be absolved or forgiven. They had to try to do it themselves. What the scripture is reminding us is that once Jesus came, his death and his resurrection was once and for all sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. For your sin, for my sin. We no longer have to try to do it for ourselves. We, in fact, it's not that we shouldn't try, it's that we can't do it for ourselves. It's only through Jesus. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, that's what that little part means. It means that you can't find repentance or being right with God just by yourself. And neither can I. It is only through Jesus, by Jesus, and by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. So are you still striving to do it by yourself? Or have you handed it all over to Jesus? Scriptures remind us that now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, next week, not next month, not at the end of our lives, now. Because those who live according to the flesh, verse 5 says, have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. In other words, whenever we live according to the things that we want, whenever we live to our own ambitions, our own desires, and we try to do it all by ourselves, then our main focus is all about me. And we know we live in a culture and a world which actually sets that on a pedestal. It's all about me. But the scriptures and the Christian way of doing things is it's all about him. In other words, whenever the Spirit comes to live within us, part of his purpose is that he gives us a different mindset. He changes how we think. He changes what our purpose is in our lives. He gives us a different approach to situations and people. That does not say that we're not going to be tempted or led astray or find things difficult. But our minds are now not controlled by our sinful nature, not controlled by that narcissistic viewpoint that simply says it's all about me and what I want and my pleasure. Rather, it's about him. And I often quote 1 John 4:4, that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And that's the beauty of the purpose of the Spirit, that the one who now dwells within you as a believer is bigger, bolder, stronger than anything else that can be put against us. But there is a warning in this passage today. And the warning comes in verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. That's pretty stark. If we try to do this on our own, then we can never reach that point of pleasing God, no matter how hard we try, no matter how much effort we put in. In fact, verse 9 goes on to say, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to Christ. We cannot please God on our own. And this scripture is clear that if we have not invited Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, if the Holy Spirit has not sealed us for the day of redemption, then we do not belong to God. Jesus himself also says something very similar in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. They're not my words. They're not something I dreamt up in a study this week. They're the words of Jesus himself. That if we're not with him, then we're against him. That if we don't belong to him, then he will tell us to go. And in those words of Jesus, it talks about blasphemy against the Spirit cannot be forgiven. That's a very strong phrase. But it's that moment, basically, of whenever you reject God's work within us, we're basically saying, I don't want you, God. I can do this by myself. And in that moment, Jesus is saying, that's almost unforgivable, that you would see the beauty, the love, the grace, the majesty of a God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you would say, nah, don't want that. In other words, you have the opportunity to receive God, the fullness of him, the Spirit living within you, God himself living within you, and you go, nah, I'll try it myself, thanks very much. And so whilst there is a stark warning in the passage that was read to us, there is also a huge promise filled with hope. Verse 12 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not for the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you a slave. You no longer live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. That's why the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children and we are heirs of God's promise. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Isn't that a promise filled with hope? So there's a stark warning that if we reject the Holy Spirit's work within us and his purpose amongst us, then Jesus too might say, no. Jesus' own words is talking about sheep and goats, those who love him and those who don't, those who follow and those who don't. But yet the huge promise that whenever we receive the work that Jesus has done for us in the Holy Spirit, and we allow the working of the Spirit through our lives, through all of those ways that he's come and filled with purpose, that then we are called heirs, children. We can cry, Abba, Father. We probably, if you've been about church or anything, you've probably heard a sermon on Abba, Father before. It's not that, dear Father, dear Lord Almighty. It's that moment of intimacy where we can cry, Daddy. Daddy. And so the Spirit has come to lead us into all truth, to set us free, to reveal new things, to draw alongside, to seal us with redemption and salvation. In other words, it's impossible to do the Christian life without him. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and how to be filled by the Spirit and hear the Spirit's voice within us. But as we come to the Lord's table today, let's come mindful of his life, his death, and let's also be open to the Holy Spirit's leading, prompting, convicting, challenging today. That we would not push him away, but that we'd wholeheartedly say, come, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are present. And we want to pray for more of you, the God who is never ending. And so as we gather in this place to know you better, as we scatter from this place to make you better known, may we be open to the leading and the prompting of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And we're going to conclude today by saying the grace together. Let's say the grace. The grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.